The Apostle Paul told his young friend Timothy, "You therefore," speaking to his young friend, "must endure hardship. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." This, of course, comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. He says, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare, and this is a really key part of the scripture, brethren. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. So he said, well, okay, well, who am I fighting? Who are we warring against then? If I'm a good soldier for Jesus Christ, I'm being told, hey, you're not to be entangled in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So, my fellow soldiers, who are we supposed to be entangled with? Who are we to be at war with? Well, we're going to find out today, again, as we're moving into the fall holy day season, because again, there are many things in this world, brethren, one could very easily become entangled with. There's a lot of causes out there, a lot of missions out there that one could be involved in. But there is yet one that you and I are engaged in, brethren, on a daily basis. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now we're going to find out what we're warring against, brethren. And when we see these entities, Paul's words shine through that there really isn't time to be entangled in these other things. Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10. Paul telling the brethren here in Ephesus, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Okay, very similar language to what he tells Timothy about, hey, be a good soldier. Endure hardship. So he says to the brethren here, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Our enemy is becoming clearer, isn't it? Because you and I, brethren, are to stand against his wiles. Now, I want you to see how many times the word against is used. Here's what you and I, brethren, war against. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So you can get entangled in flesh and blood and kind of make that your life, dealing with human beings. But he said, that's not where your war is. You don't wrestle against that. You wrestle against principalities. Principalities. You wrestle against powers. Remember, we're told to be strong, and we are to be strong in the power of God's might, because you wrestle against powers. Brethren, you and I wrestle against rulers. Rulers. Which means that just isn't anybody. They got a title. They're called rulers. It's plural. Rulers of the darkness of this age. You wrestle against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's what you're battling. Now, all those forces I just named, brother, they can certainly impact human beings. But what he's saying is, know who your enemy is. Oh, yeah, sure. You know, that guy behind you, he got mad. He thought you cut in line or cut him off in traffic and everything else. But he said, there's entities out there. And you know what, brethren? Those entities know who you are. Not only that, if you have God's Holy Spirit, they definitely know who you are. And in order to stand against the wiles of the devil and his cohorts here, see, these are defined. You know, we have different types of angels, don't we? We have cherubs. We got archangels. We got seraphim. And you have angels. It seems as though there's powers on the dark side of things, too. You got rulers over there. Okay, you have the ones that kind of group together. Remember the ones that entered the pigs? He said, what's your name? He said, we're legion. That's who we are. Because we all go together. So you got a band of demons. And you know what? Legion is still alive out there somewhere. Where is he at? I don't know. I'm not looking for him. But he's functioning out there. So legion is still about. The rulers of darkness are still out there, brethren. And we wrestle against these powers. So it's incumbent upon us to take up the whole armor of God. All of it. You don't go, oh, I'm just going to wear my helmet today. I'll be all right. I won't need the breastplate or anything like that. No, all of it. All of it. Because that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You know, at the end of the age, brethren, we go seal by seal, don't we? It's seal by seal till the kingdom. And as each seal is removed, something significant happens. So if you like titles, the title of the sermon today is Seal by Seal Till the Kingdom Comes. Seal by seal till the kingdom comes. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Here we have the Apostle John having revealed to him by Jesus Christ prophecies that are to come. And there's a great deal that surrounds the Feast of Trumpets, brethren. A great deal is said about what is going on just prior to the return of Jesus Christ. Now the Lamb who was slain here in Revelation 5 in verse 8 takes the scroll from the one who's sitting on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, again, here are other entities, brethren, other spiritual hosts, four living creatures, 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are your prayers, the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. This is sure, brethren. This is what is going to happen. God does not lie. He cannot lie. It then falls to us, brethren, to endure each seal till the kingdom comes. All of us have heard sermons on prophecy and have a good understanding of the first four seals. They're often described as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Jesus described them in Matthew 24 as the beginning of sorrows. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Because as these seals are removed, brethren, it is incumbent that you and I are wearing the armor of God. Romans 6, verse 1. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow. Now, what does the returning Jesus Christ have? Sword. This guy has a bow. And a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Jesus himself explains this in Matthew 24 and verse 5 by telling his disciples. When all this begins to happen, Matthew 24, verse 5, for many, and many have, and many more will, many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. They will deceive a lot of people. A lot of people. This horseman conquers through deceit and misrepresenting Jesus Christ. In fact, when Christ returns, they're going to be doing their level best, religiously speaking, to tear him down. Seal 2 is in Revelation 6 and verse 3. The red horse and the rider with a sword, taking peace from the earth and causing people to kill one another. Right now, brethren, we live in a world that, as I've mentioned before, it seems that more and more people see murder as a reasonable choice. You had that sad situation in Washington State. You know, three people killed Last word, the gunman was still on the loose. I don't know if they've got him or not. Why? Why is this becoming just more and more normal to walk in and just slay people? There are entities out there provoking, working people up. Wars of all types. Christ said, you will hear of these things and rumors of these things, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. Those forces that we are fighting against, brethren, are allowed to work people up into a frenzy and to pick up weapons. Just prior to Christ's return, again, nations are going to be out there fighting, warring, battling. We already know of the King of the North and the King of the South. There's going to be an army waiting for Jesus Christ when he returns. And then the black horse does his ride. He has scales to weigh. So scarce food supplies. Jesus said there would be famines. And as we know, famines are often caused by wars. And then the pale horse rides. His name is simply Death. Death. Jesus described this as pestilence, disease on a large scale, epidemics and pandemics increasing around the world. You've got this Zika thing going on now. It's already arrived in our country. And now everybody's up in arms whether or not spray it. Somebody says, don't spray. No, you kill something. Well, the people. What about the people? More amazing still, brethren, is the fact that once a seal is opened, it stays open. It stays open. Until the day of the Lord, which is seal number 7. So they're going to continue on and continue on and continue on. Right up until the return of Jesus Christ. So while we're witnessing these four seals of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, Satan unleashes his anger on the modern-day nations of Israel. The Great Tribulation is Seal 5. The Great Tribulation. We're seeing, brethren, our nation slowly becoming more and more unhinged. Satan has indeed weakened the nations, has he not? He has weakened them, damaged them. Look at Jeremiah chapter 11. Jeremiah chapter 11. It's amazing to see there are actually people out there who says we'll have peace if we get rid of the police. Do you believe that, brethren? We will have peace if we get rid of all the police. Jeremiah 11, verse 10. They have turned back. Speaking of the people. They have turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers who refused to hear my words, God says. And they have gone after other gods to serve them, just as Jesus Christ said they would. He said, they're going to come. They're going to say they're doing it in my name. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made
with their fathers. Therefore, thus says the Eternal. You know why Jacob's trouble is coming now, don't you, brethren? Behold, I will surely bring calamity on them, which they will not be able to escape. And though they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. I mean, you're talking, brethren, of the shattering of the Israelite nations here. Some of which have their beginnings in many ways with this. Today, this is not looked upon with much regard. But when this happens, they'll do anything to get out of it. I'll go to God. I'll do whatever. He says, even though they're crying out to me, I will not listen to them. We already know Jerusalem will be inhabited for 3.5 years. Then the city of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods to whom they offer incense. But they will not save them at all in the time of their trouble. For according to the number of your cities were your gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, you have set up altars to that shameful thing, altars to burn incense to Baal. I was reading the Pew Research site yesterday about Jerusalem. Again, a lot of people think of the United States, who've never been here before, as a Christian nation. And it kind of floors them to find out how many people don't believe in God in this nation. It's like that in Israel too. Amongst the secular Jews, 1 in 5 do not believe in God. They don't believe in God. They don't keep the Sabbath. Well, they might burn a candle, you know, for the Sabbath or Holy Day, but they just do that because it's tradition. But they don't believe it. They don't keep it. And this is why, amongst the Orthodox Jews and the secular Jews, they said, you know, very rarely will an Orthodox Jew marry a secular Jew. And vice versa. A secular Jew doesn't want all that religion. And an Orthodox doesn't want all that worldliness. But 1 in 5 do not believe in God. What they hold up to be high is that I am a Jew. They like that. I am a Jew. But I'm not religious. I like the name. So again, God sees these things. In fact, he goes on to say, so do not pray for this people. When all this is happening, don't pray for them or lift up a cry or prayer for them, he says. For I will not hear them in the time that they cry out to me because of their trouble. So he said, don't pray. Oh, let it be fleeting. Let it be really fast. He said, don't pray that. Understand why it's being done. God is going to show them what it means to put your trust in wood, stone, rocks, skies, moons, and animals that people have referred to as God. Let's go over a few chapters now to Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. Again, we're going to have to be strong when we're these things are happening, brethren. A lot's going to be going on. And the church, as we're watching this, you know, remember who else is beginning to show up? The beast and the false prophet. They got their little thing going. And here's us. Under the radar screen until Satan comes after us. Jeremiah 30, verse 4. Now these are the words that the Eternal spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Eternal, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. I said, that sounds interesting. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor and all faces turn pale? Okay, so you got guys, it's like, what's wrong with him? Is he pregnant? I mean, the calamity. The destruction, all that's going on has them to the point where they've got their hands on their loins, they've turned pale and saying, we've never gone through anything like this before. This has never happened before. Who's doing it? Where is it coming from? And most importantly, when is it going to end? Alas, verse 7, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble. Again, as we saw in our booklet, so whether it's Canada, Australia, the United States, Great Britain. It's all going on, brethren. It's all going on. But, he shall be saved out of it. But it's going to be a time, brethren, of desolation is going to last 3.5 years. Also contained in this seal are all types of engagements and contentions. For example, look what else is going on. Revelation 12, verse 7. Things are happening in the spiritual realm as well. You got war on the earth. You got war in heaven. War broke out in heaven. It does not say the third heaven. It says war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. It appears, brethren, from this moment on, when Satan comes crashing down to the earth, it looks like from that moment on, he's earthbound. Because then he's what? He's angry, he's upset, and then he begins to look around and say, where are they? Where's that remnant? First he goes after the woman, right? Can't get her, so there's got to be others. And he goes after the remnant. So it appears from this moment on, when he's cast down in verse 9, that serpent of old called Satan
who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
So it appears now they're down on the earth and seeing what they can do down here. So he's lost the great prize that he wanted to be like God. Now he's got to go for the consolation prize, and that is to wipe us out. To wipe us out. But once that's done, brethren, look at verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." You see, when you wear the armor of God, brethren, when you see all these things happening, sure, it's going to be, intense. But we're going to understand, brethren, why it's intense. Why? Nothing like this has ever happened before. Now, people have lived through war. People have been in cities that have gotten bombed. But nothing like this has ever happened before. And it's incumbent upon the people of God to hold fast, to draw near, and to endure this to the end. Because shortly thereafter, there's rejoicing in the heavens, and you dwell in them, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because now he definitely knows he's got a short time, brethren. You saw that tragedy in Tennessee. Man didn't like something that happened in the meeting, went out to his car, got a firearm, came back and shot two bosses. When he hits the earth, brethren, you're going to have something that is wrath, wrath, wrath. Now I got left with these little pieces of clay. And I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to destroy them all. Because now it appears he's never going to launch another attack in heaven. And when you think about it, when Satan's loosed after 1,000 years, where does he go, brethren? Does he go to heaven? No, he comes here. He comes here. Also within this seal, you have the beast rising up. It's a fixture for 3.5 years, along with the false prophet. Now, while they are deceiving, brethren, at some point in time, you have the church of God being hated and sought after. Christ said in Matthew 24, verse 9, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake." But then he says, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." Seal by seal, as we go, endure seal by seal. The hatred of God's people becomes so intense that we have to get out. We don't know what God's going to do, designing a place of safety. We have thoughts on that. We only know he's going to protect us.
He's going to protect us, and he's shown in the Bible he's protected his people from the time that they've crossed the Red Sea to the time of Daniel and the lions. How hard would it be for our Father to protect us? Not hard at all. Not hard at all. But we're going to have to go, and God will certainly take care of his people. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 13. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. From the presence of guess who? The serpent. The serpent. He's called a dragon earlier on, isn't he? Now we're back sort of in the Garden of Eden. Because you got to figure, brethren, he'd be willing to try any and everything to do what? Get us to let down. Oh, come on, guys. I'm just here to watch over you. I can take care of you. There's nothing wrong. Come on over. Let your guard down. Isn't this beautiful area I prepared for you? You will not surely die. Obviously, we're not going to listen. We're not going to let down, because the armor of God, the Spirit of God, is in great supply. So the serpent's going to spew out an army, which is likened to water here, out of his mouth, like a flood, after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood and destroyed. But the earth helped the woman. It opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood. Now he's a dragon again, which the dragon has spewed out of his mouth. Wolf in sheep's clothing, maybe? He's not done, though. We also know the two witnesses are doing their job. There will be people who will be called even during this time, brethren. There will be people who will direct their lives towards God. And the dragon is aware of this. And so this fifth seal also reveals the martyrdom, which is referred to as the remnant of her seed. And they will be killed through the wiles of Satan the devil. Let's look at Daniel chapter 11. It's going to be obvious, brethren, where people stand religiously. It's going to be obvious. Especially when it comes to the Sabbath day. Daniel 11, verse 32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong. they shall be strong. And when you're strong, brethren, that makes you a target. That automatically makes you a target for the enemy. Because you're going to stand strong. You're going to stand firm and carry out great exploits. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many. Yet for many days they shall fall by the sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. Yes, we'll probably hear about it in the place of safety, about those called, those who did not arrive, that are killed. If you think about today's media, how quick is it? Just like that. Oh, we got some of them today. Found them meeting at church on a Saturday. We got them. Seal by seal till the kingdom. Seal 6, of course, is the heavenly signs. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 29. Our older brother says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, and the next seal is opened, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens will be shaken. Again, brethren, to see a sight like that, to see a star or a meteor plow into the earth, people are going to be so astonished at things like this. Look over at Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. It helps you to understand people will be so out of it. They'll say, you know, maybe it's just best that we die. So let it end. Luke 21, verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth. Distress of nations with perplexity. It's like, what's going on? You know, I don't think any army is going to stop a star from falling. No army is going to stop a meteor from hitting the earth. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them from fear. Because now what's next? You know, the sun's no longer shining. The moon's not shining. Perhaps from nuclear fallout, maybe. But the fact is they're not giving off their light like they once were. And they're afraid. And the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And as this is going on, brethren, something even greater is happening. A sealing of the servants of God is taking place. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7.
And I heard, Revelation 7, verse 4, I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. This is then followed by silence in heaven for half an hour approximately. So we have the sealing of actual Israelites here from the 12 tribes. That's different than us. That's different than us. We're from all over the place. And then, family, seal 7 comes. Seal 7 brings the day of the Lord, which brings 7 trumpets, which brings the woes and the plagues. The wrath of God is now going to be poured out upon a rebellious people. Now, Jacob's had his trouble, right? This is going to the rest of the people. The rest of the people. Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah 7, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, And you, son of man, thus says the Lord God of the land of Israel, An end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now, the end has come upon you. And I will send my anger against you. I will judge you according to your ways. I will repay you for all your abominations. My eye will not spare, nor will I pity, but I will repay your ways. This is why God says, Vengeance is his. It's not ours. It's his. And your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, a disaster, a singular disaster. Behold, it has come. An end has come. The end has come. It has dawned for you. Behold, it has come. Doom has come to you, you who dwell in the land. The time has come. A day of trouble is near, and not of rejoicing in the mountains. Now upon you I will soon pour out my fury and spend my anger upon you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations. And as those trumpets sound, you get a third of the trees, third of the grass, third of the sea, third of the creatures, third of the ships, third of the rivers, third of the population, you know, on and on and on it goes. Daylight, moonlight, There's warfare. People are dying. There's destruction. And that's not even getting to the woes. That's not even getting to that. Those plagues, brethren, when they hit, remember, God says they're coming how? Unmixed. They're going to be full. When that first woe hits, and that second woe hits on that 200 million man army, a third of the world's population is going to be killed. That's a lot of death. Not too long after that, the two witnesses are going to be killed. And then that seventh trumpet sounds. It sounds. Seal by seal. And then we hear it. The first resurrection occurs. Those of us who are alive are going to be changed. We'll be taken from the four corners by angels to meet Jesus Christ. The beast and the false prophet will still be alive during this time. See, it's still not over, is it? It's still not over. That army is still sitting out there, isn't it? So even though we're rejoicing, why? There's the king. We're with the king. We're staying with him and going with him. But there's still other work to be done. Indeed, brethren, his reward is with him. And his work, we're told, is before him. So there isn't going to be any vacation time at his return. There's work. His work's before him. You have eternal life now. He's going to say, my brothers and sisters, it's time to go to work. There are still things that are going to be done. One of which we know. I don't know if we'll see it or if that's going to happen when he's first seen in the clouds. But he's going to take out that man of sin by his brightness. Just like that, boom, he'll be gone. And then it continues. Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Again, those plagues are being poured out for what reason, brethren? In hopes that people repent. Repent. We're told here in Revelation 19, verse 19, I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured. And with him, the false prophet. So you've got the head of state
and the head of religion taken, who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Our returning king, brethren, is within that seventh seal. Arriving at the sound of the seventh trumpet. Also contained in this seal is the capture of the enemy who attempted to destroy us. We will watch as he is bound and led away. All of God's first fruits will arise during this seal and witness the plagues and the fall of Babylon. It's going to come crashing down, brethren. We'll have more to say about that on the Feast of Trumpets. Do you see how busy we're going to be? Do you see, brethren, why it's incumbent upon us to be strong in the Lord and His might? And why it's important that we draw near to Him continually? This world is going to go through something it's never gone through before. And the children of God will be involved in it in many ways, as human beings and as spirit beings, brethren. As Paul told the Ephesians, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and His might. We have been called to finish this race. Not just be in it, finish it. We've been called, brethren, not just to fight the war, but to win the war. There's a crown waiting for you. A crown created for you. It's only going to be given to those who win, having finished. As we enter into this holy day season, brethren, and partake in God's festivals, we pray for our Savior. We pray for His return. Realizing, as we pray, there is a requirement that each of us must prepare ourselves, brethren, to go seal by seal till the kingdom of God comes to this planet. I want to wish all of you a joyful holy day season, a wonderful Feast of Trumpets, an uplifting Day of Atonement, and a most joyful Feast of Tabernacles and Last Great Day. Rejoice, my family. And again I say, rejoice.